bless the reading of his word. Thank you, sir. Stick that right over there if you would. I appreciate it. I didn't even realize Mark was reading Mark. It's good stuff. Is there anything normal about this Jesus? Is there anything normal about this Jesus? I mean, week after week after week, we just keep talking about this amazing Jesus. I mean, everything is something. Everything is something. Even when it's nothing. Be still and know that I am God. I was poring over the scriptures as I often do, and I don't know. I hate to admit this sometimes as a minister, but you know, it's like sometimes it's like I just keep seeing the same things over and over and over again, and I got to keep preaching the same things over and over and over again. And you know, I don't want to get dry in your words, Lord. You know, what's going on? You know, is there something? Because this is amazing stuff, what I'm seeing here. And it's been amazing for decades and still continues to be. And I don't want to not preach on it. And I'm going to preach on it. And it's going to be wonderful. But is it, you know, it's what the people need to hear. And I'm your messenger. Okay. Then he kind of showed me something. He showed me something that there was this thread that was running through that I had kind of never seen before. And I'm not really going to, you know, elaborate on it, preach on it much or anything like that, but I just saw this little thread. And I was like, oh, thank you, Lord. That's because there's something new in the scriptures that just kind of lightens up your eyes. And what I saw was I saw in this passage, there's a lot of begging and pleading going on. See, the demons begged Jesus again and again, please don't send us out of the area, right? Begging him. And then the townspeople, right? Verse 17, they beg and plead with Jesus. Please leave. They're pleading with him. Get out. And then, of course, the healed man. Please take me with you. Please take me with you. There's a lot of begging going on in the passage of scripture. And I think the Lord enlightened me to that because I think I beg the Lord a lot. I think I plead to the Lord a lot. And it just opened my eyes to, let's say, to the scripture, to the thread. But then it also went, you know where that thread is? It's woven right into your own soul. You plead a lot and you beg a lot. And for certain, Jesus must be used to it. Begging for peace and begging for comfort and, right, pleading for healing in our temporary bodies and in our aches and our pains and pleading that we find the financial solutions to all our problems, beseeching him, please get me through this. Just one more month, I promise I'll start going to church more often. Don't we do that? Come on, don't tell me I'm the only one. And it's kind of like from every angle, the begging and the pleading. It's not like it's just the healed man wanting to be with Jesus. Like, all I'm doing is begging and pleading and wanting to be with Jesus. No, no. There's these people begging and pleading for Jesus. Go away. Go away. Wow. It's from every angle Jesus gets this. I'm sure of it, right? A lot of communication with Jesus is the begging and the pleading and the begging and the pleading and the pleas. Which is why I like worship so much. It's just adoration. I'm just giving you thanks. I'm just glorifying you. I don't want nothing. I'm not begging for anything. I just want to acknowledge who you are. So amazing. So one, that's worship. That's worship. Thank God for worship in that regard. And it's always something like supernatural. It's always something, you know, the supernatural is invading the physical and conquering and miracles and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, it's no coincidence. It's oftentimes it's over the top and the awesomeness and the walking on water and the calming of the storms and giving sight to the blind and healing the demon-possessed people. Even in the quiet, Jesus is my superhero. You seen this slide before? Give me this slide. Jesus is my superhero. And that's how I saved the world. And Jesus is telling Superman and the Hulk and Spider-Man. And that's how I saved the world. Nice. Our passage of scripture we've just kind of went through this horrifying scenario and this life-threatening situation in the Sea of Galilee, all the disciples in the boat and the storms and the waves. And, you know, this could be the very time also when that passage of scripture when Jesus tries to get out, when Peter tries to get out of the water and, right, exercise his depth of faith and goes towards Jesus, could have been in the midst of that trip across the Sea of Galilee. And, you know, and then Jesus calms the storm. And so what happens is you finally get out of the boat. Can you imagine just the relief of finally getting off of the boat after having gone through all of that? You step on dry ground, and here comes a wild maniac, naked of a man, bowing, yelling, screaming. And you encounter this lunatic on the fringe. It's the depths of evil. There's your next year slide. The depths of evil. And we don't know much about this guy at all. I know this. He's somebody's son. He's certainly somebody's relative. He could be somebody's daddy. Could be somebody's husband. We do know that he's bound by demons. Listen carefully to the phraseology. Not influenced by them, possessed by an entity. Can you even hear this now? Can you even hear, like, even the disciples going, well, Jesus, who sinned? This man or his family that he should be bound by demons like that? Can you hear that? Always the wonderment. Always the wonderment of a fallen and cursed world. This guy represents the evidence of evil, the impact of evil that's around us. Demons are real. The hopelessness that is associated with evil. And notice what the demon has him doing. He lives in the tombs. He lives in the tombs. He lives in the graveyard. The devil likes to keep you in the tombs. He likes to keep you in the dark. You know that mushroom phrase, right? Keep you in the dark and feed you manure all day long. Sounds like today's media. It's crazy how we desire the very things that kill us. That in itself is evil. And we have a propensity towards it. The demons want to bring you, and the evil influence wants to bring you to those that are spiritually dead and physically at a dead end even. Can't you just hear Jesus? Let the dead bury the dead. It amazes me how many of us argue with the dead. We get upset by the dead, the cursed, the lost, the light arguing with the dark. They're dead. They're in darkness. They're walking in their own hopelessness, self-centeredness. They exist wandering around in the dark, making their own stuff up. There's only one hope for them. The demon wants to persuade you, to influence you, to drag you down, to become like the dead men. Kept in a state of ignorance and spiritual blindness. That's the desire, the target of evil, if you will. The enemy wants you living among the dead. The walking dead, zombie-like, hanging out in the graveyard. Then you can become the type of person that no one can tame. Hanging out in the tombs, and he becomes a man that no one can tame. There's a lot of people like that. You can't talk to them at all. Both men and women, younger and older, maybe you know them. They have a certain violence about them, or an anger, or a rage about them, or a stubbornness. They wake up angry. They're mad already. They're upset. They're angry at everything and everyone. And you're going to know it. They're unwilling to learn anything new. They think they already know it all. Or they can't change how they feel. They don't know how to change how they feel. And after all, their feelings dictate how they see the world. Angry, upset, frustrated. Everywhere I go, I see dead people. Everywhere I go, I see wounded people. Everywhere I go, I see hurt people. Everywhere I go, I see betrayed people. Everywhere I go, I see scared people, suffering people. I see lonely people. I see fearful people. Everywhere I go, I see people confused, uncertain, believer and unbeliever. And oftentimes, the believer pleading with Jesus. And the unbeliever pleading with Jesus to get out. Influenced by the ever-present curse of the world. It seems really no one can calm them or move them in the right direction. They're inclined to destruction, often self-destruction. That's what the devil does. He likes to move you into a place where you live amongst the tombs. And no one can tame you or talk to you about anything. And it's a constant, ready for the word? It's a constant torment. Your life becomes a constant torment. You have more miserable days than good ones. Just what the Lord wants for you, I'm sure. Are you sure? I had a guy walk up to me, this is many years ago, and I was working in a hotel room, So I'm at the front desk, right? And I see this guy walk by. He looks at me, gives me one of those, you know what guys do. Hey, walks by, goes down the stairs. Oh, and he comes back up. So I'm standing at the, just standing at the front desk. Comes up the stairs, and he's staring me down, and he's beelining right toward me. I heard you're a minister. I heard you're a minister. Well, I'm a son of Satan. He leans over to Well, I'm a son of Satan. Just like that in my face. I said, ready? I said, well, I'm the son of the Most High God. You might want to be careful in my presence because I will pray the hell out of you. Why? He just stepped back. He said, whoa, whoa, you know, I'm just playing. You know, I'm sorry, I'm just messing with you, man. You know, I'm just messing. I don't know who you think you are, but I know who I am. You better know who you are. Yes. Or they're going to come looking for you. Amen. They will come looking for you. And they're going to call you out. And how are you going to respond? Notice what else the demon does with this guy. He was continually whining and crying and moaning and sobbing. And right, all the horror kind of sounds you get in those movies. This is him. In the graveyard. No one approaches the tombs. Why? Because there's crying, sobbing, pain and agony. He was always night and day in the mountains, in the graveyard, crying, weeping and whining and sobbing and howling and blubbering. All those horrible sounds. He's a troubled man with a troubled soul. And watch, there's a lot of other people crying out, watching as the devil has his way with him. People cry over what the devil's doing all the time in their daddies. People crying all the time over what the devil's doing in their mamas. People crying over all the time what the devil's doing to their children. never fails. Can't go a day. People crying over what the devil's doing to our country. There's a lot of people whining and moaning and sobbing and pleading even with what the devil's doing. I'm reminded of I was in a courtroom. And then it's a courtroom, it's very orderly, and then something's going on, I don't know what's going on, is somebody having a case or something like that, and then you just hear an agonizing sob out of a mother, just a gut-wrenching, oh my, and weeping and sobbing as they take her children away. She has a drug addiction she can't get over. She can't get over. She can't get over. Time and time again, leniency, 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 leniency. This time, they'd had enough of what the devil was doing and how it was affecting the kids. There's only one way out for her. There's only one way out for her. And it's not more time in prison and it's not rehab. There's only one way out for her. I think about the men. It's too many men that I've encountered at Lake Swan Camp sobbing and crying on the ground, weeping, tears, because they're bound by their sexual addiction, their affairs, and their pornography. They want to get out, but they don't know how to get out. The pleasure is strong. The feeling is strong. They're trapped by it, and it's ruining their own lives and ruining the lives of those around them. The devil has him trapped. The devil has him addicted. The devil has him confused. The devil has him weak. There's only one way out for him. There's only one way out. It's always something, isn't it? Isn't it always something with this Jesus? It's always something, even when it seems like nothing. This is a supernatural oppression. These people that I encountered, I don't know that they were demon-possessed. I don't think they were even demon-possessed at all. I think they were deceived. I think they were tricked. I think they were manipulated. I think they were disobedient. I want you to know what else the demons do, beside all the torment and the manipulation and the deception and even the possession. They bow at the feet of Jesus. When Jesus arrives on that scene, they all get out of that boat, having gone through all that storm, and oh ye of little faith, and gets out of, and the demons come and bow at his feet. He's the one with the power. He's the one they must fear. And there is a real difference between demonic possession demonic oppression, doing evil. Not one of us is good. I read that somewhere. All of us have a natural tendency to turn toward our flesh of disobedience and evil, to disobey and be easily tricked. That does not make us demon-possessed. Please be careful in finding demons under every rock. People are deceived and disobedient. They are not possessed. Adam and Eve, deceived and disobedient. They were not possessed. So, let me get this straight before we go any further. I want to get to the point in case you think you're demon possessed. In the name of Jesus Christ, demon, be gone. I don't care what your name is, be gone. You unholy, foul creature, be gone. You are not welcome here. This is sanctified, holy ground. Any demon in here, in the name of Jesus, be gone. Flee, go. You are not welcome here. Show yourself. in the name of Jesus Christ, sanctified, holy ground. You're not demon possessed. There's no possession going on here. You're not possessed. You're not possessed. You're not possessed. You're scary, but you're not possessed. It's not here. There's no demons here. There's no demons here. I found that whenever a demon comes around, he don't hang around very long. Hey, I heard you're a minister. Well, I'm a son of Satan. He ain't hanging around long. I know who I am. Do you know who you are? You know the power that you possess? We start walking around thinking we got demon possession everywhere. He's under the rock. Oh, he's possessed by demons. He's possessed by demons. He's possessed by a demon as much as Adam was. Wasn't. Influenced. Tricked. Manipulated. Lied to. That's what we are. That's what we are. Now, you've got a problem. If you're feeling bound this morning, there's one hope for you. If you feel a little bit trapped, there's some hope for you. You feel a little bit weak, you feel a little bit discouraged, you feel a little bit emotional, traumatized, you feel a little bit spiritual bondage, there's one hope for you in the name of Jesus Christ. No demon has you. So now what? You're sitting here in your right mind. Now what? Now what? Now what excuse do you got? Hang on, baby, because there's hopes are coming. Hopes are coming. The disciples are rowing that boat with Jesus on board. We're bringing Jesus to you. There's only one hope you got. His name is Jesus. There's your next one. There's a deliverance of Jesus. A deliverance of Jesus. Think about that. Think about a legion of demons. You know, 3,000 demons torturing your son. Torturing your daughter, torturing your wife. If it's one or 1,000, Jesus is the deliverer. With Jesus, it's always something, and it's something supernatural. And Jesus is the only deliverer for what ails you, for what complicates you, for what confuses you. What brings you into weakness and despair and depression and has you living among the tombs? Jesus is the only deliverer. And all those evil influences and demons will bow at the name of Jesus Christ. If you proclaim to know Jesus Christ, there's deliverance for you. Jesus commanded these demons to come out of that man. And he told his disciples, in my name, you will cast out demons. Demons do not go away in the name of Pastor Stan. Demons do not go away in the name of Catholicism. Demons do not go away in the name of, well, the Methodists behold, get out. No. Demons do not flee at the fear of Buddha. Demons do not fear or flee from Muhammad. There is one name and one name only where all evil and all authority has been given. It is the name of Jesus. What's his name? What's his name? There's one creator, one Christ, one Lord. One authority where every knee shall bow. Don't let it sit on your tongue. Spit it out. Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And I love how Jesus does this. He just does it. The man doesn't need a psychiatrist. The man doesn't need therapy for the next 7 to 10 years so that we can overcome your past. The blood of Christ has cleansed your past, and you are a new creation. All that man needed was Jesus. All you need is Jesus. And the people saw this maniac of a man sitting in his right mind. This guy, run around naked. This man who lived amongst the tombs and the mountains, crying and moaning and weeping, though no one could tame or bound up, who cut himself and manipulated his own body. This man, deranged and driven by demons, sitting there in his right mind, not possessed by demons anymore. You are not possessed by demons anymore. Is there anything different about you? Anything different about you since you've had an encounter with Christ? Anything different about you since Jesus set you in your correct mind? Oh, I'm willing to bet that man still has scars, but he's healed. I'm willing to bet that man, he's still got scabs, but he's healed. I'm willing to bet that man still got welts and burns from when he threw himself into fires, but that man is healed in the name of Jesus. I am healed in the name of Jesus. And I'm willing to bet, just like me, I can't explain it fully, but I'm healed. I don't entirely understand it, but I'm healed. I don't entirely get all that supernatural stuff and all the things, but I know this. I was blind, but now I see. I was naked, but now I'm clothed. I know I couldn't walk right, but now I'm walking right. And then watch what this healing man does. There's that more of the begging and the pleading. Jesus, please take me with you. Please take me with you. Please take me with you. This is not begging from the demons or the town folks. This is begging from the guy that just got healed. Take me with you, Jesus. Take me with you. Take me with you. I don't care where we go. I don't care what we do. I don't care. It does not matter to me. I've been healed. I just want to hang out with you. The darkness this man had experienced was gone. What's your response to a healed mind? What's your response to the forgiveness of all your sin? What's your response to being set free? I'm free to dance. Hallelujah. Yeah, see, here's the problem. No more, the devil made me do it. Devil didn't make you do anything. He might have tempted you. Tried to influence you and throw some darts at you. Get you to move into that place where you started, vomiting foul words and you just like, is this even in me? I didn't even know this was in me. Man, I don't even like myself sometimes. I think I'm demon possessed. No, you're not. You're in your right mind, but you're deceived and you're disobedient and you walk in the ways of the flesh, not the ways of the Holy Spirit of God. No more chains, no more shackles, no more living among the tombs. Take me with you, Jesus. Take me with you. What's different about you? There's your next slide, in case you didn't get that. What's different about you? You know what he does with this guy, does he? What does he say? No. 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 He sends them to the region of Decapolis, Decapolis 10 cities. This area is probably filled, ready, with Jewish mixture of people, kind of like we understand the Samaritans, you know, kind of half-breeds, or a lot of Greek Gentiles in that region. Certainly Greek influence. Certainly Jews were not hanging out with pigs. Certainly Jews were not hanging out with pigs. And if they were Jews hanging out with pigs, they were certainly ceremonially unclean. And they were not behaving as if they were the righteous Jews. And these town folks do not care about the man that just got healed. What do they care about? They care about the pigs. They care about the pigs. Where's their mindset? What do you care about? What do you care about? They're terrified of the things they do not understand. Perhaps they're even more angry at Jesus because he's influenced the marketplace and the value of the pigs. We just lost 2,000 pigs now from this region. I can't go sell them in the marketplace now. You need to go, Jesus. You need to go and be gone. What's the value of this man's life? Is it worth a couple thousand pigs? What's it worth to you? One soul. One troubled person that ventures into a sanctified holy ground and stands in front of the altar, confesses their sins and the terrible things that they've done. What's it worth to you? I know what it cost Jesus. And here's all these townspeople, right? Pleading with Jesus. There's that pleading thing again. They're pleading with Jesus that he goes. Go, go, go. Please go. Please go. Please go. Don't stay here. Please go. Please. Please get out of our schools. Please get out of our government. Please, would you just go? Get out of my house. Get away from my kitchen table. Would you just go, Jesus? Jesus, full of authority and power and the capability to heal. You know what he does? He gets in the boat and he leaves. The gentleman that he is, he gets in the boat and he leaves. Jesus will come in if you invite him. He'll also leave if you ask him. Furthermore, what's going on? Just as they do not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, imagine that. They do not think it's worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God. So God gave them over to their depraved mind. Okay, I'll leave you to it. So that they do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossipers, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, boastful. They even invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. And although they know God's righteous decrees that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do them, they approve of all the people that do that. All that. And they're not possessed by a supernatural spiritual entity. Your flesh is prone to evil. Your flesh is prone to walk away and to be disobedient and to walk into disillusionment. All that, please leave Jesus. Okay. And he's gone. Then there's this healed man. He's touched by God. Please take me with you. Nope. God makes him what I think is the first missionary we find in our scriptures. Go. Go. Go tell others about what God has done. And he's pretty specific. He just doesn't say others. Go tell your people. Go tell your people what God has done for you and the mercy that he has shown upon you. Go tell your people. Go tell those half-breeds. All those ones that did nothing for you but tried to bind you up. All those ones chasing the dollars that care more about the pigs than they do you. Yeah, those people. Yeah, those, go tell them. Go tell those guys. Yeah, absolutely. Go tell them what God has done for you. Has Jesus done something for you? Tell somebody. And the first thing you got to do, go home. Go home. Go back to your people. Go to your people. Go tell what God has done for you. Your faith should affect and influence those in your home life, those that are around you. Go tell your people. I remember being scared to tell my dad. I was thinking about going into the ministry. I was thinking about becoming a pastor and going into seminary. His words, there's not much money in that. He was right. But imagine, I'm scared to tell my dad. I was thinking about going into them. Imagine that for a second. You ever been scared to tell your dad something like that? Tell him moving in a direction, something like that? Listen, my dad was not disappointed in me. My dad was not angry with me. You know where that was? All in my mind. All the deception of my own flesh and my own thought processes about how I thought my dad would think. And my dad did not think like that. But I thought he thought like that, so therefore I thought like that, which was incorrect thinking about what my dad had thought. Another trick to discourage, to detract, to move you away, right? That fear alone, how many people have moved away from doing what God has called them to do because they're afraid of telling somebody something or telling their dad something or going to their hometown or telling their own people or making the declaration that they're a Christian. And that whole fear just stops and they move in a direction. And that fear is not even real. It's all in here. And the devil's got you. And he plays tricks on you and he manipulates you. But you're not demon-possessed. See how simple it is? But see how difficult it can be? I agonized over telling my dad that. I agonized over it, thinking he was going to be so disappointed in me. And he wasn't. And the Lord began to work in Melinda and I. It's amazing. The Lord brought us together in our walk, kind of going different directions, Christian but different directions, and then kind of brought us together. And then when we came together, you know, our own people picked on us, teased us, ridiculed us. What is that, a cult? You belonging to a cult now? What are you doing? Oh, you play the guitar and sing. What are you, a bunch of hippies? Yes. Are you those born again Jesus freaks? That's what you are, right? Oh, man, agonizing, you know, and it didn't take too long. Our faith in each other and in Christ, the love that we had for each other and for Christ was so strong. It had influence into the family. Imagine that. People started going to church. What? And they started coming to church with us. Wow, amazing. Who are the happiest people that you can think of? Oh, that would be Stan and Melinda. Who seems to have their act together and have the right mindset? Well, that'd be kind of Stan and Melinda. In our family, who's kind of like generous? Well, that'd be Stan and Melinda. Well, what is it about them? I think I know exactly what it is about them. Our faith and our love for each other and for God was so strong. When Melinda and I got baptized, so did my mom, and so did her mom and her dad. Go home to your people. Go home to your people. Tell them what God had done for you. Here's your next slide. See, most of what scares us limits us. Most of what scares us limits us. If you could just get past the fear, you'd discover that there's no limitations about what God wants to do with you. But you succumb to the fear. And most of the time, it's all imagination. It's your own head telling you something that's fear, that it's not even there. It was never there. It was never there. Maybe there was a little, you know, teasing and ridicule and shit, but your faith's so strong, you just stay focused, you just keep moving forward, and your whole life serves as a witness and a testimony. Watch, about overcoming fear. About overcoming fear. Jesus wants to set you free from your fear. Conquer one fear, you'll begin to slay them all. If you experience the love of God in your life, tell somebody. Have you experienced the grace of God in your life? Tell somebody. You felt forgiveness from God, the cleansing of your sins? Tell somebody. You've been healed, set in your right mind? Tell somebody. Here's your next slide. It is not our duty to convict. It is not our duty to convert. It is our duty to convey. Just tell somebody about the great things God has done for you. Just tell somebody about how great God has dealt with you. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. The dark spiritual forces mentioned in our scripture, they just keep getting exposed over and over and over. When light enters the room, darkness flees. Just like that. I'm rarely surprised to find sin and evil within the church. Sinners flood the sanctuary every week. But so does the Holy Spirit of God. So does the forgiveness of God. So does the grace of God. So does the mercy of God. So does the compassion of God. And I want to touch on this very quickly if I can, so that I can make sure that we understand the difference between evil possession and evil oppression. Many people are influenced by the enemy. That does not mean that they are indwelt by the enemy. Most of what we would deal with is oppression, not possession. Here's your next slide. You don't need an exorcist for what's in you. You need an exterminator for what's around you. You need to clean house. You need to clean house. You'd be surprised about the stuff that's influencing you. And if you're watching too much politics, politics is influencing you. I promise you. Watching too much horror, you start to believe that's what horror looks like and that's what horror sounds like, but you never overcome your fear, and that's evil. Demon possession is real. Demon possession is real and rare. Demon oppression is real, and it's an epidemic. Another created dimensional being by God. Another created dimensional being by God taking over your body? Highly unlikely. A created dimensional being by God influencing you? Pandemic. Epidemic. Tragic. And what I'm talking about is supernatural. It's supernatural. You cannot beat anything supernatural with that which is natural. The weapons to beat back evil in your life is not take another pill. The weapons to beat back evil in your life is, I need a really good night's sleep. The weapons to beat back evil is not better governmental regulations. The only way to beat back supernatural oppression is with supernatural liberation. the oppresso liberare, to liberate from oppression. The Holy Spirit has empowered you to victory. Are you fighting a spiritual battle with physical means and physical weapons? You're losing. The spiritual battle is won in the spiritual battlefield, and you're already a victor. You've already got the most powerful, authoritative name in all, that every demon must flee, every evil must scatter. But if you're fighting it with a physical realm, you're losing the battle. You need the Holy Spirit of God, the power of the Holy Spirit of God, to influence your own evil tendencies and all the evil tendencies that are around you. The only way to walk spiritually victorious is to walk spiritually. You with me? Are we going to walk spiritually? Filled in the Holy Spirit of God?
Yes, sir.
Father, in this place, this very day, we pray your Holy Spirit fill each and every soul here today. Fill us to overflowing, Father. Father, bring us to our right minds that we would recognize you at work in our lives. And Father, in this place, we claim the name of Jesus. We claim the blood of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. Father, we claim the cross and the resurrection that we may share in eternal life with you when this flesh withers and dies. In the meantime, Father, we pray that we would walk in the Holy Spirit of God, full of your power, your majesty, and your authority. You have said you have given it unto us. May we walk and bring you honor and glory. In the name of your Son, we pray. Amen.